Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh, Benson Victor brings Major League Baseball and all related things. Inside MLB, Inside MLB.
Good evening, Inside MLB fans. I'm Vincent Fechter, and I will be your host tonight. It is Wednesday, May 4th, 2016, and if you don't know the pun already, it is Star Wars Day, and May the 4th be with you. So, if you're looking at the episode description, probably what you expect for me to be talking about, first things first, would be how the more steroid busts are coming from Major League Baseball. Well, hold on, that's not the first thing I'm going to be talking about today. What I want to talk about to start the show off today is the crazy Seattle and Oakland game that is going on right now. It is the middle of the fifth inning, and the Oakland A's are winning 8-6. Now, the pitching matchup for today was Felix Hernandez versus Sean Manaea. Now, when you hear that, you probably think that Mariners are going to win because Felix Hernandez is usually a sure thing on the mound, but he was definitely not a sure thing today. Now, four of the runs he gave up were unearned, but part of that had to do with his error, not just his third baseman Kyle Seager's error. Both of them were fielding errors, and obviously they attributed to the eight runs the Oakland A's have right now. Now, Felix Hernandez's lines usually do not look like this, but today his outing is done. He went four innings, nine hits, eight runs, only four were earned. He didn't walk anybody, and he only struck out one. He also allowed a home run. And over those four innings, you'd be probably surprised, he actually faced, listen to this, 22 batters. That's a lot of batters. He was taken out in the fifth inning. He did face six batters, and all six batters got on base for the Oakland Athletics, and it wasn't very pretty. So let's revisit that fifth inning for a little bit and see what happened for the Oakland Athletics. To start off the inning, Yonder Alonso, he singled on line drive to center fielder Leonis Martin, putting him on first base. Not much trouble brewing yet, but after that, Marcus Semien would single on another fly ball to center fielder Leonis Martin. Alonso would advance to second. Yonder Alonso was hit a little bit harder. Semien, more of a fly ball. It was a bit of a blooper. Alonso's was a line drive. So now trouble is starting to brew. The A's bullpen is starting to get warmed up. After that, Billy Burns, the sort of unknown center fielder for the Oakland Athletics, he sacrificed bunt ball to the pitcher. But listen to this. This is where things got bad for Felix Hernandez. He did the bunt. It was intended to be a sacrifice, but he advances first. So now the bases are loaded. The pitching coach has to come out to the mound. And in the next play, you see Jed Lowry singling on a line drive to left fielder. Yonder Alonso scores, and they are playing station to station. Sammy moves up to third. Billy Burns to second. Jed Lowry to first base. So after that, trouble really is starting to happen right now for the Oakland Athletics. Well, the Oakland Athletics are on the attack. The Mariners are on the defense. Then came the error from Felix Hernandez, which really just got him into trouble even more than he already was, since all of his other things were hits. He already made a iffy play on the Billy Burns single that happened a little bit earlier, but then Josh Reddick had an easy ground ball back to Felix Hernandez, and he just whiffed on it, allowing Marcus Semien to score, Billy Burns moving up, and Joe Lowry moving up. And the bases are still loaded. The following play, another error occurred with Chris Davis. Third baseman Kyle Seager made the error, and this spelled the end of the night. For Felix Hernandez, Vidal Nuno came in to replace him, and the inning still wasn't over. Stephen Vogt, he lined out to Deho Lee, the first batter Nuno faced. And after that, Billy Butler, he singled to left field, allowing Josh Reddick to score. Again, the scoring was not over. Chris Coughlin, he singled, allowing Chris Davis to score, And after that, the inning was over. So a crazy game right now in Oakland. And it's only the bottom of the sixth. 8-6 right now, Oakland, and they scored 6 runs in that fifth inning. Felix Hernandez, he was sharp the first two. The third and fourth, he allowed 1 run in each. But besides that, I mean, there's not really much good to look at this outing, except for the fact that he was really hit hard. It wasn't the fact that he walked a lot of batters. He didn't. He didn't hit any batters. It was sort of clear on that department. But besides that, it really was not a clean day for Felix Hernandez. He's obviously upset with himself. And Vidal Nuno's day is done for the Athletics. For the Mariners, Mike Montgomery was just called in to replace him. So I'll continue to give you updates on that game as it progresses. And we'll talk a little bit about Sean Manaea real quick here and his start, which wasn't that impressive either. He had the exact same amount of earned runs, but obviously Felix Hernandez got unlucky. 4 runs added to his that were not earned. Manaea, he went 5, allowed 7 hits. The 4 runs, he walked 1, and he struck out 6. I think the big thing to point out here is even though he walked 1 batter, he struck out 6. He limited the damage more than Felix Hernandez did, and as I told you already, Felix Hernandez had one of the errors that allowed the run to score for the Oakland Athletics. There were also 2 errors on the Athletics parts from Jed Lowry fielding and Stephen Vogt on a throw, but that did not come back to haunt Manaea as he finished the game with all his runs being earned. So I'll keep you updated on that game, but if you're tuning in, you probably know that I'm going to be talking about the steroid bust coming down in Major League Baseball this coming week. And the steroid that everybody is sort of using right now, and everybody's being caught for right now, is an anabolic steroid named Turinabol. And Major League Baseball came out today. They said it's being used by another player. Now, if you do not know what Turinabol is, it was more common in the 70s. It hasn't really been used much since then, supposedly, but is now being cracked. And Tom House in 1970, he first came out saying that players were starting to use Turinabol. And since then, it hasn't really been that much evident. Turinabol has not been a much used steroid. But one of the more surprising things, too, is this other player that will most likely be suspended. There are a handful of cases right now that Major League Baseball is in the midst of processing. So, I mean, when they came out saying handful, I did not really know how much that was. So, I mean, use your imagination on that, but there will be several players being suspended for using Turinabol. Two players were actually suspended this spring training. The Toronto Blue Jays' Chris Colabello and the Phillies' Daniel Stumpf. They were suspended during spring training. And it was sort of strange to me because players know going into spring training that they are going to be drug tested. How did they get caught for using Turinabol? Because most of the time they take it far in advance of spring training ever happening. I'll get to that in a little bit. Another player suspended for Turinabol was this past September. Cardinals catcher Cody Stanley was suspended for taking the drug. Now, one of the theories for why Turinabol is being that Major League Baseball is catching up on it is really because of the better testing technology. This is why the players are getting caught. Testing, it took a major leap 2 years ago, and the users, they didn't find out about this new anti-doping labs, this new better technology. So what Turinabol used to be is it used to be undetectable after a week. It's an oral steroid, and it would break down, and the metabolites would sort of be gone, and there was no way to detect it. But researchers, they went out on a mission to crack down Turinabol because most players aren't drug tested every week. Most commonly, they would take Turinabol right after their previous drug test, so it would be out of their system by the next drug test. But what researchers did is they increased sensitivity of the equipment, and they tried to see what would happen. And what actually happened is the window for you to be caught for taking Turinabol increased from just a week to now for several months in certain cases. Most of the time, it's several weeks, but in some cases, scientists are finding out that is now several months. So players, most of the time, they honestly take it during the offseason, will not have time several months in between drug tests. So perfect for Major League Baseball, who are trying to crack down on this, and it's beautiful in my mind. D. Gordon did not take this drug, if you were wondering. He took a different drug. I forget what it was called, but he did take that, not Turnable. And the players, they really have been using this for years. It has not really just sprung up since the 70s in my mind, because the new technology is sort of catching them. The saying, like, innocent until proven guilty, really is showing this, because not many people know what Turnable is. Not many people really know, because it hasn't really been in the forefront. Now that it's moving its way to the forefront, people know what it is. And the players, they have got to stop using, because these new anti-doping labs, this new stronger technology, they will be caught and they will be suspended 80 games, just like D. Gordon was suspended. The players that have been suspended, Chris Colabello, Daniel Stumpf, and Cody Stanley, and most likely the players that will be suspended, definitely one will be suspended this coming week. We do not know who that is yet, and the players that will be suspended following him. I mean, everybody says they denied taking the drug knowingly. Now, do I know that it was not intentional? My suspicion is it isn't, because you go to any jail in the United States, you ask a criminal, did you do your crime? They'll say no. And the players, they deny taking it, but how does the machine fail? I know they might say the sensitivity messed it up, it's too sensitive, but Major League Baseball is doing the right thing. One of the things, though, that might have the players not take the drug knowingly is alpha-4-D. If you do not know what that is a supplement made by Shredded Labs, and it has a form of the drug Turnable in it. This supplement was placed on the high-risk list by the FDA in March 2014. And the one of the more special things about alpha-4-D is it is an over-the-counter drug. So anybody can walk to a drugstore that sells alpha-4-D, which is made by Shredded Labs, and they can purchase it. So a lot of the times on alpha-4-D, the ingredients are often not listed. They are listed at Shredded Labs, but when they get to the drugstores where they are sold, it is not listed. So that's where I can understand where players might not take the drug knowingly. But there's an MLB list of the supplements that you are allowed to take as a Major League Baseball player. Take those supplements, because these players might be going out of the Shredded Labs and they might be doing it knowingly, or they could be going over the counter buying the supplements, and they may not know that alpha-4-D is in it, either because the ingredient of Turnable is not listed in it, or other possibly performance-enhancing drugs, and two, they might just be ignorant and not read it if Turnable is listed on the container. But either way, the players need to use the supplements that are allowed by Major League Baseball. They give the players a list of what they're allowed to use and what they're not allowed to use, and it's an extensive list for each. So if you're going to be smart and you want to take the supplement for injury reasons, you might just want to take the supplements on Major League Baseball's list. Because if not, the players are held accountable for the drugs found in their body, even if they think that it wasn't knowingly taken. Most of the times it is knowingly taken and they're just not willing to fess up to it. But a lot of the times, it is knowingly, and that's a really interesting thing, that Major League Baseball players aren't really, they're scared, I think, to fess up to it. D. Gordon, one of the first players suspended this year after spring training, said he didn't take his drug knowingly. Colabo and Stumpf said that this spring training, and I guarantee you the player coming out this week will say the same thing, and the players after that will follow the same trend. We have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. When I come back, we're going to be talking about the Yankees and how Alex Rodriguez, will it hurt him going on the DL, or will it be a good thing for the New York Yankees? That's next. I'll see you in 30 seconds on Inside MLB. We'll be right back. are back on Inside MLB. We've been talking about the rise of Turnbull in baseball today and how there will be a player being caught this week. Major League Baseball will announce it later in the week. And there are also several other cases being processed right now, and they will be suspended accordingly. I've been talking about also the Oakland Athletics and the Seattle Mariners game. Promise to give you updates. It is still Oakland up 8-6 over the Mariners in the top of the seventh inning. I will continue to give updates as this show goes along. But as promised before the break, I told you I'd talk about the Yankees placing designated hitter Alex Rodriguez on the 15-day DL. And the reason he was placed is because of a strained right hamstring that he, you know, got injured on running to first base on a fifth inning double play Tuesday night against the Orioles. He had an MRI yesterday, and he hoped to not go on the DL. But obviously, the machine didn't lie, as he said himself, and he had to go on the 15-day disabled list. Now, Alex Rodriguez, he held a team meeting Tuesday before the game. It was supposed to be Seager, but he came out after the MRI happened, and he said there was no reason that the Yankees can't score 5 runs per game. That was in the meeting on Tuesday. Now, this is an interesting statement because the Yankees, their lineup, I mean, it is so, like, the lineup is old, and they have left-handed hitters who hit into the shift all the time. Guys like Brian McCann, Mark Teixeira when he's facing righties, Carlos Beltran. I mean, they just always hit into the shift, and they're now shifting on righties. Guys like Alex Rodriguez, they will be hitting into the shift. And Joe Girardi is upset about that. Joe Girardi came out saying that if he was commissioner of baseball, then he would ban the shift, have players play catcher, pitcher, first, second, short, third, left, right, and center. So no shifts allowed. But shifts have always been going on in Major League Baseball. It's just the truth. And, I mean, 100 years ago, they were saying, move the left fielder a little bit to the right, 10 steps to the right. If he's a lefty, he's a pull hitter, something like that. You have guys shifted based on the pitcher, based on the hitter, how hard they can throw it. It just has to do with all of that kind of stuff. And shifts will forever go on. I mean, I even heard the other day that in Coors Field, people might be trying to use 4 outfielders. I don't know what infielder that would be taken away from the infield, but if there were be, that would be an interesting thing to see. Joe Girardi might not be happy about that because of his players hitting the outfield. Managers probably won't be happy about that, but it's just the way of the game. And the managers, they have to realize that, and they just have to overcome it. Baseball is a changing game today, changing nonstop. It's a game of chess. That's why I love it so much. That's why I love talking about it so much, playing it so much. It's just a wonderful game. And shifts will always be a part of the game forever for the foreseeable future, and I do not expect for it to ever go away. Now back to the A-Rod topic. He told his team there's no reason they can't score 5 runs per game. Well, he's not helping it out much. He has a 194 batting average right now, albeit having 5 home runs and 12 RBIs. The fact that it's 12 RBIs, it's good, but he's not going to be able to do it himself when he's batting 194, getting a hit 20% of the time. It's just not going to cut it. And if he's trying to lead by example, that's not an example that's going to help them score 5 runs per game. It's just the truth. Right now, they are in last place, the Yankees, at 8-16, and A-Rod has, surprisingly, even though it's 194 average, he actually has been good of late. He entered Tuesday batting 6-for-14 in his previous 6 games, but he did go hitless in 3 at-bats Tuesday. And one of the ironic things, I think, about this whole statement is, first off, his batting average. Second off, the fact that he got injured bounding into a double play, which he has been more accustomed to doing so because over his career from the Mariners to the Rangers to the Yankees, he has been getting slower. And it's just ironic that he's starting his hamstring running, and he's not supposed to do as much running because he's not even in the field the whole game. He's just batting. He's in the lineup for his bat, and his bat isn't helping out at all. He's more of a clubhouse leader, even though he is not leading by example. The best way to lead, in my mind, is to lead by example. Sometimes there are quiet leaders on teams. Guys like Roberto Clemente on the Pirates in the 70s and the 60s. he wasn't really a loud voice in the clubhouse, but what he did do on the field was impeccable. He led by example. The players, they looked out and they said, I want to be just like Roberto Clemente. Nobody in the Yankees dugout is looking at Alex Rodriguez when he's batting, because that's really the only time they'd be looking out at him and saying, I want to be exactly like Alex Rodriguez. I want to do everything like him. No. One of the main reasons why that is because of his steroid use. Now he's been caught so many times, three times. And really, his career is sort of a wash in my mind. I mean, we really don't know who the real Alex Rodriguez is. And I feel like the real Alex Rodriguez might be the guy who's hitting 194 right now. Could also be the guy who's hitting 614 in his previous six games, but he was just unluckily 0-3 Tuesday, and in the fifth inning, he was taken out of the game for grounding into a double play. Now, even though he's hurt, he will still be being paid big bucks. He'll be paid $21 million for the next 2 years, $42 million for a player who is batting 194. You think the Yankees are regretting that decision now? This is part of his 10-year, $275 million contract after the Rangers. I believe he was a free agent. And one of the facts that you may not know about Alex Rodriguez is that he was almost traded to the Boston Red Sox. Commissioner Selig pretty much said no to the contract, to the trade, and then becomes a free agent, signs a big deal with the Yankees. So that's just another case of the Yankees Red Sox coming to the forefront. And this Sunday Night Baseball, just like last ones, will be Yankees Red Sox. This time it will not be at Fenway Park. It'll be at the new Yankee Stadium. So that'll be an interesting game. But the Yankees, after Alex Rodriguez was placed on the DL today, they are called right-handed relief pitcher James Pazos from AAA, Scranton Wilkes-Barre. So at least they do have a plan for who to go to until then. Who's going to be the DH? It can really be anybody on the bench, because Chase Headley has a third base position. Alex Rodriguez used to play third base, but he does not do that anymore. He is a strict designated hitter. And I'm going to go back to the statement for a second that Alex Rodriguez told his team there's no reason they can't score 5 runs per game in a meeting on Tuesday. Let's just take a look at the Yankees' lineup that they usually dish out. And their lineup is really usually not that good. It just isn't. Tonight, they have Jacoby Ellsbury batting leadoff, Brett Gardner, Beltran, Teixeira, McCann, Castro, Hicks, Gregorius, Headley. Now look how lefty dominant this lineup is. Ellsbury is a lefty. Gardner is a lefty. Versus Brady's, Beltran is a lefty. Along with Teixeira, McCann is a lefty. Now just listen to this. The first 5 batters in the Yankees lineup tonight, they will all be lefties. Tyler Wilson will be on the mound for the Orioles. After that, they have Starlin Castro, who is a righty. But then get this, Aaron Hicks, then Didi Gregorius, and Chase Headley. Starlin Castro is the only, always a right-handed hitter every night. And Starlin Castro, he really needs to move up in the lineup. He has really been the only bright spot in that lineup, I think. Right now, he's batting 300, has 3 home runs and 12 RBIs. Nobody comes close to that. It's just the truth. I mean, Ellsbury's batting down at 247, only has 1 home run in the season. You get Beltran batting at 261. You have Gardner right now batting an ugly 247. You just keep going down the lineup. Castro, again, the only player batting 300. Brian McCann, he's in there not doing well, batting 269. Gregorius, he is not doing well. He's batting 222. Chase Headley, who they I think signed as a free agent, he's batting 147, can't even crack 200. Then you go to Aaron Hicks. It's just not a good season right now. He's batting 077. I mean, what can you do through the Yankees? I mean, some of them shifts won't make a difference, because even though the lineup is lefty-dominated, the only guy that can do anything is your right-handed hitter. I mean, Joe Girardi, you might want to not have so many lefties, but what can you do? I mean, Brian Cashman in the front office, he needs to realize he need to get rid of these old left-handed hitters. Carlos Beltran, Mark Teixeira, Brian McCann. I mean, they're not really useful right now. And Chase Headley is not being useful either for the team. And sadly, I don't even know why starting Castro is batting six. He should either be at the one or two. I know Ellsbury Gardner, it's a nice speed combo, but sometimes speed, it's not going to help you get on base all the time. I mean, maybe they'll be able to lay down a bunt, but those guys aren't Billy Hamilton. They're not getting to first base every time they bunt it. Ellsbury and Gardner just aren't that. And if they're not getting on base, then Beltran is going to be shifted. And that's just the reality, and he has to realize that. And if he's being shifted, he'll most likely oblige to the shift. He obliges to the shift all the time. So does the Sheriff McCann. And they just can't be able to get anything going. Ellsbury and Gardner don't get on base, and this is part of the 5 runs per game team. If they don't, Beltran's going to be shifted. That's an easy throw down. You go to the next, and Teixeira, he'll be shifted automatically. McCann will be shifted. Then let's say you get Castro on, and then you get a guy like Aaron Hicks, batting 077. He gets out. You go to the next team, you have Gregorius, who's not playing well. You have Headley, and then you go right back up to Ellsbury. It's just not a fluid lineup. It just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. Castro needs to move up. That's the one thing. Hicks needs to move down. And they just need to get rid of these bad old switch hitters and left-handed hitter Brian McCann, possibly Chase Headley as well. And you might be scratching your head wondering why the Aaron Hicks trade went down this offseason as well, because it's not making much sense either for the Yankees. And the Yankees, we take a look at the standings, it's not going hot right now. They are in last place. They are 8-16, 3-7 in the last 10, and they are trying to win their first game in a week tonight. Losers of 6 straight. Maybe the one bright spot that they have right now is they're only 2.5 games back of the Rays, but they're 6.5 games back of the division. It is early, so you have to realize that they could bounce back, but I'm expecting an awful season from the Yankees so far, and it's looking to turn out like that. They're not the worst team in the American League. They're not the worst team in baseball. The Braves are behind them, and the Twins are behind them. They're 1.5 games up of the Twins, who, after they got off to their bad start, they were 3-8. But ever since they were 3-8, they've been 5-11. People thought they might do well. Well, they haven't done well. Ever since they were 0-8, they are, though, 8-11. So that might be good. But the Twins, they're also 3-7 in the last 10, not looking to do much noise either. And we were just talking about worst teams in baseball. And the Atlanta Braves are definitely the worst team in baseball. They are 7-20 right now. They are 9 games back of even making the second wild card, 3-7 in the last 10. And sort of ironic, the Braves and the Phillies are in the same division. And I sort of thought, a lot of people thought, that the Braves and Phillies would be switched right now. The Phillies would be 7-20. And the Braves will be 16-11 sitting in a playoff spot. But that's obviously not the case. And it's going to be a struggle for the Braves, but I think they will eventually get together. Going back to the Yankees, I see that there's no way that they will ever this season, on average for 1 month, maybe even a week, maybe even a series, be able to score an average of 5 runs per game. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry, Yankees fans. It's just the reality of your team, and they're not looking to do too well this year. We have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. When I come back, we're going to be talking about minor league Dodger shortstop Arisbo Arruabarrena. He's suspended for the remainder of the season. His second straight season, he will be suspended. That's next. We'll see you in 30 seconds on Inside MLB. We're back in Inside MLB. We've been just talking about the Yankees and how Alex Rodriguez has been placed on the disabled list. And we were also getting into how they will never be scoring an average of 5 runs per game. But a good point was just brought to me. The Yankees, they could trade their closers for some right-handed bats. I think that would probably be the smartest. And you know how with the Troy Tulowitzki trade, how sort of the Rockies took on Jose Reyes. The Yankees could do something like that, just throw in a bad contract. I mean, Alex Rodriguez, I wouldn't throw him in because he is playing sort of well as late. And I think they could maybe throw in Teixeira, they could throw in Beltran, and they could throw in McCann. Probably the smartest thing they could do, get a right-handed bat and maybe give up one of your prospects because, I mean, they're not like gold. Sometimes you need to get major league talent, but I like what the Yankees are doing with their talent in the minor league system, holding on to them, but they're definitely not going to be good this year, maybe in a couple of years with that talent that they have been protecting like it's gold. Maybe that will pan out eventually. And I've been promising you over the course of the show that I would keep you up to date with the Mariners and the Athletics. And over the course of the last segment, the Mariners took the lead. They are now up 9-8 over the Oakland Athletics. And let's go to that inning where they did their damage. To start off the inning, and this was the top of the seventh, Kyle Seager, he singled on a line drive to center fielder Billy Burns. Franklin Gutierrez scored. This was the Sean Doolittle pitching. After that, John Axford on the mound. Dae-Ho Lee, his fourth home run of the season for the Mariners. Over the left field fence, Kyle Seager came in to score. That's how they have the lead. Right now, it is 9-8 Mariners. Right now, it is in the bottom of the seventh. And maybe this crazy game will continue where there is so much offense and no lead is ever safe. So let's get into, as I told you, Dodger shortstop, Aribil Barrena. If you don't know who he is, I didn't really know who he is until a little bit ago when I was preparing for the show. But he is a minor leaguer. He's in Double A right now. And this is the second consecutive year that he is being suspended for the same exact thing. Now, we don't really know what the same exact thing is. The Dodgers didn't give specifics on the reason for the suspension, but the statement that they came out with is he failed to comply with the contract terms. Now, what I heard with contract terms is some major league teams in the contract, they say no extreme sports. It's just not allowed. That might be the case for Aribil Barrena. I'm just going to call him Aribil from now on because I cannot say that last name. So Aribil just, I guess, couldn't comply with contract terms, whatever that may be. My best guess is it's probably some extreme sports sense. Like, I know they're not allowed to ski. Sometimes they're not even allowed to bowl. Mookie Betts of the Red Sox, he had to get special permission from the Red Sox organization to be allowed to bowl. And if you don't know, Mookie Betts is actually an outstanding bowler. He has bowled multiple perfect games in his, I guess, career bowling. He's actually on a professional bowling tour in the offseason. A little fun fact you may not know about baseball and about Mookie Betts. But back to Aribil for a second. He's 26 years old right now, and he was suspended last May for the same exact reason. Again, we do not know what that reason is, and I do not know why the Dodgers aren't complying and giving out the reason besides complying with contract terms. Again, best guess will be extreme sports, but last year he was reduced to 30 days after he appealed. My best guess is he will appeal again this year, but something that I don't think he's actually going to get the appeal this time around. He might get to like 60 or something, but he's not going to get back down to 30 because he just needs to learn his lesson. He was suspended for a year, got down to 30. I don't think that's happening this year. I guarantee you he will appeal, and I guarantee you, I won't guarantee, but it will probably be reduced. It won't be a whole year because they need to get Aribil going. His stock has dropped a lot in the past couple of years. In 2014, he was signed out of Cuba for a $25 million deal. He was set to make $4 million this year as part of the Dodgers system. But the suspension, if you do not know, is without pay. And actually, in 2014, He came straight from Cuba to the major leagues. He played 22 games for the Dodgers. He batted only 195 with a 224 on base percentage. So he did not do well when he came up. So they sent him down to the minor leagues to get his stock back up to get ready for the major leagues because he was supposed to be the shortstop of the future. Obviously, he will not be now because Corey Seager's there. If he can get it back together, he might be able to play second base because Howie Kendrick will not be there forever. And the surprising thing is you think a guy that you're paying $25 million on $4 million this year, he might get the invite to big league camp, and he didn't. And, I mean, at least most prospects, they do get the big league camp invite. I mean, usually they're the ones first gone. I mean, at least he could have been the ones first gone. But Arizpe, Arruber Reyna, didn't even get the invite to big league camp. And this is a result for his stock, his dropped significantly. Last year, in the games that he did play, he batted 299 with a 337 on-base percentage and a 418 slugging in AA Tulsa. Not good. If he ever wants to make the major leagues, he has to improve those numbers drastically. Because batting 299 in Tulsa, it's obviously going to be low in AAA. And we saw 195 in the major leagues. So I think if he will eventually get the call to AAA, if he does get back this year, hopefully he does for the Dodgers' sake. I don't know why they want to suspend him for a year because they need to get Arizpe going. But this year, it was not hot at all. In 17 games, he batted 182. And get this, he struck out 21 times in 55 at-bats. I mean, we're looking maybe to a call down to single A. Because, I mean, they pretty much need to pull out all the stocks. And now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, I think this might be the perfect move for young man Arizpe, 26-year-old out of Cuba. He needs to learn his lesson because whatever he's doing outside of baseball, I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think he has a work ethic right now. And maybe if he's suspended for a year, the Dodgers hopefully will spark him to work more because he will not be allowed at the facilities provided for the Dodgers. But with his money he's made to this point in his career, maybe he'll be able to join a nice gym or something and get together what he had in Cuba and why he was so hyped up when he came to the United States with the Dodgers. And how he, Arizpe and Corey, they were expected to battle for the position and maybe they'd be double play partners. That was the expectation from the Dodgers organization. But obviously that did not happen. And Arizpe was suspended for failure to comply with contract terms. And I think this might be the case where you overhype a guy. Most of the time when teams sign a player from Cuba, they expect to get success immediately. That's why they brought him up to the major leagues right away. And then they realized, whoops, we better get him down to AAA, see how he does. Had to send him back down to AA. So obviously you can see that the Dodgers made a mistake signing Arizpe. And again, it's a risk going out onto the international market because the scouts, they may see stuff, but that stuff, not all the time does it translate to major league play. And sometimes these young men, they get all this money, $25 million for shortstop Arizpe, Arruber Reyna. And they just do not want to know what to do with it. Most of the time, guys like Starling Marte for the Pirates, they give back to their community. And after Marte was signed to the long-term extension by the Pirates last year, he gave back to his community. Gregory Polanco, who was just signed to a long-term deal, is giving back to his community. Guys who come from different international countries, when they get these big deals, especially if you go down to Cuba and Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, they will give back. And I don't know if Arizpe did that. I think he might have just wasted all. I don't know if he wasted all of it or whatever, but it might be the perfect case of a young man giving all this money and no training of what to do with it. Here in the United States, I mean, people like me and younger, they get trained on how to deal with finance. And I mean, there's whole classes that deal with like introduction of finance and what to do when you get your money. Most of the case, I mean, 10% you save it and you put it away for emergencies and things that you may need it for. I think Reese Bowl has just gone down the wrong track, and I do hope the best for him, and I hope being suspended, pulling out all the stocks from the Dodgers, might turn his career around, and I think it'll be perfect for him when he gets back in 2017 if the appeal does not work out for him. I believe they should probably start him in high A. I think if they put him in high A, then maybe he can get his confidence back, maybe get a 350 batting average, maybe push 400. He gets his confidence back, goes to double A, maybe he can up that 299 average he had last year. Maybe he can do better. And you just have to continue growing this kid's confidence. And the only way to do that is to, I think, right now, suspend him, perfect job, then send him to high A, keep moving him up the organization ladder, and maybe, just maybe by the time he's 30, he might be a productive bench player for the Los Angeles Dodgers. If not, it will be a waste of $25 million. And the best thing that could happen for the Dodgers is he just keeps not complying with his contract terms, if that's the case, so they do not have to pay him the whole amount that he is owed. But if he does not comply, he'll get suspended without pay. And that was the case that happened here. Dodgers double-A shortstop, Arisbo Aru Moreno. And when I first heard this news, I have heard the name in the past. And I realized that he really wasn't even that big of a threat at double-A Tulsa. As I mentioned, he was only batting 182. He kept striking out. I do not know what he batted in the lineup, but my guess is he was batting low. So it's not a like death sentence to double-A Tulsa and the manager and everything there. And maybe they're expecting a reasonable to get suspended for all I know. But I think double-A Tulsa will do just fine. And, you know, being a baseball fan, maybe they'll make the, I think, Texas League playoffs. But that's what it's called, and double-A might be there. No, the Frontier is an independent league. So maybe double-A Tulsa will make the Texas League. And obviously, Arisbo Aru Moreno will not be playing in that because even if he does appeal and if he does get back, he will be suspended for the playoffs. That was the case with Dee Gordon, who got his 8-game suspension. We're talking about, hey, the Marlins are a competitive baseball team, and if Dee Gordon comes back, he will not be in the playoffs. That was the case with Urban Santana when the Twins were first place in the division in the summer, and people talking about Urban Santana will not be able to pitch in a playoff game, game one, or any game for that matter. And then they moved to the wild card, and they're like, he's not going to pitch for us. He'll pitch. Talking about Phil Hughes, maybe. It's just crazy what some of these kids do these days. And I hope for the best for Reasonable, Arbor Barina. And that leads us to our next break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about the whole Zika phenomenon and how the Marlins and Pirates, they are scheduled to play May 30th and 31st and may not actually go to Puerto Rico because Zika is at the front lines of that country and it is a very dangerous disease. We'll talk about that next on Inside MLB in 30 seconds. We're just talking about Dodgers shortstop Arisbo Aru Moreno. We were talking about the Yankees, Alex Rodriguez on the save list. And previous to that, we were talking about the rise of Turnbull in baseball and how some player will be suspended this coming week. So what I want to talk about now is how the Marlins players, they remain worried about this Zika risk in Puerto Rico and how it might affect them and possibly their spouses if they go. But as promised during the show, I'll give you updates on the Seattle Mariners-Oakland Athletics game. It's still a 98 game. Seattle's batting right now in the top of the eighth inning, but they do have a little bit of rally going. There's first and second with two outs. So Franklin Gutierrez is up to bat for them, so maybe they can get something going, get some insurance runs, because it's really proven that no lead is safe. Pitching right now is John Axford still for the Athletics. He gave up one of the runs in the big seventh inning that gave them the lead. Okay, so let's get into this whole Zika thing. And the Marlins players over the weekend, they attended a seminar on the Zika virus because May 30th through the 31st is coming up. It's May 4th, and now they're scheduled to leave on May 29th. The seminar, it worried them about these games in Puerto Rico, and the decision is to be made by the end of the week regarding whether they will actually go or not. Besides the seminar that they had, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, they gave a presentation to the Marlins and their whole team after the seminar, and they also gave a presentation to the players' unions, and the info was shocking to them. Now, when I hear the word shocking, I think it might be a likely chance that they do not go to Puerto Rico. And I was excited because I'm a Pirates fan, and I wanted to see a game in Hyperthorne Stadium. I really did. And the fact that Zika is apparent and that it could, you know, possibly affect these players and possibly their players' spouses, probably wanted to go to Puerto Rico with them. I want the players to be safe, and if the U.S. Centers for Disease Control is giving shocking information to the Marlins and to the Players Union, then it might be the best for them not to go. So, again, I want them to play at Hyperthorne, but I do not want any players to possibly be hurt or long-term from this Zika virus. And I'll get to what Zika does in a moment. After the seminar and after this presentation from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the Marlins voted on whether to go or not. It's not being disclosed at this time what that vote was, but what was said is there is a lot of concern in the clubhouse. And if I'm a player, I mean, it would be great to go to Puerto Rico and play. But, I mean, what difference does it make if you play in Miami for a four-game series instead if you go to Puerto Rico, then to Miami? What difference does it make? You'd rather have the health of the players, you know, still intact. You don't want anybody to be long-term and their children to be long-term hurt from this. And the concern, I think, is good because, I mean, you hear the shock and info that the Disease Control Center gave out and the seminar that they attended. It shows that they care about their future, and I think that's good from the Marlins' part. But from a baseball fan perspective, it's not good because, obviously, I want to see them play there. But, again, what difference does it make? Marlins Stadium, Hyperthorne Stadium, Puerto Rico, Miami. The Marlins are still going to be the home team out of the way. They're going to get the extra at-bats. The fan base down there, it's really not good. A couple years ago, they were in the heat of a playoff race, and they couldn't even fill half of the lower section. The whole upper section was closed. I went to the game when they played the Diamondbacks, and they walked off. And, I mean, it was just, like, no energy in that stadium. So, I mean, it might have made a bigger difference, you know, if it was late in the season, important game, crunch time, and it was at a place where there was a solid fan base. I might be like, hey, go play Hyperthorne because, I mean, there will be a lot of Puerto Ricans there. Probably more Marlins fans because Puerto Rico is awfully close to Miami. But, I mean, it would be a neutral environment, and but that's not the case because Marlins, they don't have a good fan base, and it's a late May game. The games were to be moved, it would most likely be Miami because Miami is a home team. I'd be absolutely shocked if it was moved to Pittsburgh. I wouldn't mind if it was moved to Pittsburgh, but it would be surprising because pretty much you're punishing the Marlins for not wanting to be diseased by the Zika virus. Last month's games, though, 1 month ago, these games in Puerto Rico were expected to be played, but health and safety concerns since then have become more and more serious. Puerto Rico has become more part of the front lines of the Zika virus, which is a deadly virus, and the players and their spouses do not want to contract it because if they do, it can cause a birth defect on their children, which causes infants to be born with smaller heads. And I don't know, in another case, there'll probably be some kind of mental defect. Obviously, you always want to see perfect babies being born. And I know this is supposed to be, I mean, this is a show we're supposed to be talking about baseball. And if it gets to the part we're talking about health and the players' children and all this, I mean, it just shows that you have to draw a line somewhere. And baseball, it's a great game. And the Puerto Rican population probably wanted to see this game at Hyperthorne. They're excited when it was scheduled to come there. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and when health is concerned, when children are concerned, I think the Marlins and the Pirates, they should just have a consensus and say we're not going to go to Hypothorne. If Zika wasn't there, they probably would. There was no doubt they'd be going to Hypothorne. It was scheduled. And just sad for baseball, the decision will be coming later this week whether or not they will play at Hypothorne. And the virus, it does spread by mosquito bites. And so mosquito bites are obviously an obvious thing in Puerto Rico. A climate like that, it just comes out in a bigger way because it's going to be hot and the players are going to have to wear a lot of clothing if they go there. Probably wear mosquito repellent, just wearing. And if you know how when a bee starts chasing like a young kid, they sort of run around, right? You might be on a baseball field and see a kid running around. Mosquito comes after a player in the outfield. You might see them sprinting at Hypothorne, and you do not want to see that because that might affect the game. And if the umpire doesn't see in time, one of the four there might not be able to call time, which would not be preferable. The Zika virus also transmits with sexual intercourse. And if you do have sexual intercourse with the Zika virus, your children have a likely chance of contracting the Zika virus, which causes the birth defect of a smaller head, which never is to be wanted ever, I guess you could say. No consensus yet. It's been whether to play or not at all. An update will be coming later in the week, and I will probably be – I'll be actually breaking the news on Friday to you if it will be played in Puerto Rico at Hypothorne or not. In fact, there's no consensus yet whether to play or not, but there's all this concern. I think they have already made a decision. They're just waiting to see sort of the Pirates' decision, because the Marlins, they are more concerned than the Pirates are. And an MLB medical director, they had an hour-long meeting with the Pirates on Saturday. And the medical director pretty much told the Pirates, and I'm pretty sure at the seminar on the U.S. Disease Control Center, the precautions were to stay in the team hotel as much as possible when not at the ballpark. Because if you're in the team hotel, mosquitoes often don't get in there, and it's a resort that they're staying at. So it'll be pretty closely guarded, probably have mosquito repellent all over the place. So the people traveling there, they will not contract the Zika virus. But at the ballpark, it's a different story because Hypothorne, it's in the wild. I mean, anything can happen there, and there will definitely be mosquitoes there. Hopefully, they will not have the Zika virus if they go. Another thing that was told is the pregnant spouses should not go on the trip because if they get bitten by a mosquito, they have a pregnant, you know, child in them. And if the Zika virus, God forbid, gets into the child, it could possibly, you know, affect the child and the mental disease and the smaller head and the intelligence level. It just won't be good. Also told by the medical director of Major League Baseball, Jeff Green, was pretty much spouses not to go at all, because if the spouses go and you want to have children later in your life or maybe while you're playing baseball, if they get the Zika virus and they do not know about it, there could obviously be a likely possibility that the birth defect happens once again. Some players have already decided, I'm not going. I'm going to skip if they schedule it. And that would just be a shame. For example, let's say the Marlins. They got like Giancarlo Stanton not going. Fernandez not going. For the Pirates, you got like McCutcheon maybe not going to Puerto Rico because of the Zika virus. And that would obviously, it might not have a level playing field because the Marlins, they're more worried about the Zika virus than the Pirates are for this Puerto Rico games later in the month. That you might see players skipping. You might see players deciding just, hey, I'm not going to go no matter the cause, and that is going to be the case. Nothing really Major League Baseball is saying yet. Nothing Marlins are saying yet. Nothing Pirates are saying yet mentally. And has been told some players have already made their decision that I'm not going no matter what. No matter what Major League Baseball says, they're not going. And here's my decision. I think if they were to go and they would follow all the precautions of, you know, staying in the team hotel, not letting their spouses come, and, you know, being wearing as much clothing as possible, it will definitely be uncomfortable. And it might not allow for a level playing field. But one thing that has to be thing is if the Marlins, they probably have relative. I mean, the Marlins, they have Giancarlo Stanton, they have Jose Fernandez. Jose Fernandez probably has relatives, and he's probably heard about the Zika virus. And that might be reason because the Marlins are more of a Spanish-speaking dominant team. And obviously the Pirates, they have Spanish-speaking too. So getting a little out of the way there. But I say no. Because the Marlins are that worried. And the Zika virus is going to affect them and their long-term future. And just don't go. I know the Puerto Ricans are going to be crushed. I know the baseball fans, you know, who were looking forward to the games are going to be crushed. Don't go. Move the games to Miami. It will just be a regular four-game series. You have all the players that should be there. It won't be an uncomfortable experience because Zika is not at the forefront in Miami, which is a good thing. It's not the forefront in Puerto Rico, and you have to realize that if you're a baseball fan, you just got to cut your losses, and you got to say, the Marlins and Pirates, we'll find out later this week. I'll probably be breaking a lot of news here on Friday. I'll be breaking the drug who will be suspended. I'll be telling you that. I'll be telling you about the Pirates-Marlins game, and so it will be played. There'll be an update later this week. I'm excited to hear that. I hope it's a no. We'll also probably hear about shortstop Ariz Bull if he decides to appeal or not. So a lot of big news going down today. And, I mean, none of it's really good. You get this drug, and MLB's trying to crack down on it. You get somebody going on the DL. You get somebody being suspended. I mean, a lot of suspensions going on. And you get this whole health concern, safety concern, which, if it's serious, like supposedly it is in Puerto Rico, then I suggest the players do not go. Now, we are winding down in time. Wow, this show has went fast. I will give you the update now on the Seattle Mariners and the Oakland Athletics game. And it's the end of the eighth, still 9-8. And the Mariners are trying to pull away and win this game. The Mariners right now, they're 15-11, and the Athletics are 13-15. We'll check out the AL West for the second, which is being a competitive division right now. The Mariners are on top. They're 15-11 right now. 7-3 in the last game. Where's the 2-3 going for the sweep against the Athletics today? Right behind them, though, only a half game back, are the Rangers. They haven't been doing so hot there in the last 10. They're 5-5. The Angels are right there. They're tied with the Athletics right now, 13-15, 5-5. The A's have not been playing well, though. They are 3-7 in the last 10. Losers up 3 straight. Try not to get swept today and, you know, salvage a game in the series, but they would need a comeback to do so. The most surprising story, I think, in the AL West, though, is the Astros. They are 9-18 right now, 6.5 games back, 4-6 in last 10. Well, they need to turn things around fast. All right, so let me give you a quick recap of the day. Finals in, the Cubs beat the Pirates 6-2. Lester had an outstanding outing, and the Pirates, it was an evenly played game in the hits column. Cubs had 12, Pirates had 11, but the one error made the difference. Cubs moved to 20-6, and 13. And Tigers Indians, it just got underway. Tigers Indians had 0-0. Playing night, Yankees, Orioles, Rangers, Blue Jays, D-backs, Marlins, Dodgers, Rays, Red Sox, White Sox, in the Battle of the Sox, Twins, Astros, Phillies, Cardinals, and Phillies off to a hot start with the Cardinals. Not so much, but they are still in there at 13-14. Other finals from the day, the Reds beat the Giants 7-4. Reds move up to 11-17. Giants fall to 15-14. The Braves beat the Mets. Beat the Braves 8-0. Mets move to 17-9. Braves fall to an ugly 7-20. The Angels beat the Brewers. Angels move to 13-15. Brewers fall to 11-16. And the Nationals destroyed the Royals, winning 13-2. Nationals move to 19-8. Royals fall to 14-13. Rockies beat the Padres 2-0, 13-14 for the Rockies, 11-17 for the Padres. I will see you Friday, 5:30, 6:30 p.m., and right here on Inside MLB.